Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the second quarter 2016 conference call hosted by Sebastian Moraga. My name is Leslie and I'm your event manager. During the presentation, your lines will remain on listen only, and if you require assistance at any time, please key star zero on your telephone and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. I'd like to advise all parties that the conference is being recorded for replay purposes, and now I'd like to hand over to Sebastian. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hello everyone, and welcome to Colbún's second quarter 2016 conference call. My name is Sebastián Moraga. I am the CFO of the company, and joining me today is Miguel Alarcón, our deputy CFO, and Verónica Pubil and Soledad Errázuriz, members of the investor relations team. I hope that you have received our second quarter press release and our results review presentation that we have prepared to complement the analysis of our figures. Otherwise, you can download them at the investor section of our website. Agenda for today on slide 2 is as follows. We will begin talking about the relevant highlights of the quarter, recent events, to then analyze in detail last quarter's results. After that, we will provide an update on our growth opportunities. Following the presentation, there will be time to participate in a Q&A session, and questions will be accepted in either English or Spanish. Now please go to slide number 3 to review some highlights of this quarter. First, revenues for the second quarter of 16 totaled $370 million, up by 3% compared to same quarter of last year, mainly explained by higher sales to regulated customers, transmission tolls, and the contribution of revenues from Fenix Power. These effects were partially offset with lower spot market energy sales. Second quarter posted an EBITDA of $151 million, 11 higher than the EBITDA of $136 million in the second quarter of 2015. The increase in EBITDA was mainly given by a lower average fuel supply cost, which decreased 20% compared with the quarter of last year, and the contribution of EBITDA from Fenix Power Peru. Third, hydro generation in Chile during the second quarter decreased 2% compared to the same quarter last year, mainly due to low rainfalls recorded in the southern part of the country. This lower output was partially offset by higher coal and diesel generation. Fourth, the company was able to meet 100% of its commercial commitments with baseload capacity, in line with the second quarter of last year. A net income of $51 million was registered in this quarter, also in line with the net income of $50 million in the same quarter of last year. Finally, net debt increased 20% from $965 million to $1.2 billion, comparing second quarter of 2015 with second quarter of 2016. And this is mainly explained by the incorporation of Fenix Power's debt and partially compensated by debt prepayment performed in Chile for $240 million. Now please go to slide number 5 to review some recent events. In April 2016, Colbún purchased part of San Edison's assets in Chile, involving in first place the acquisition of 2 PV solar farms in development located in the SIC. The first is Parque Solar Olmué of 145 megawatts located in the region of Valparaíso, which has high environmental approval. The second is Parque Solar Santa Sofía of 57 megawatts located in the metropolitan region, which is currently under environmental study. The agreement also involved the cession of a long-term power purchase agreement with distribution companies for 350 gigawatt-hour per year, starting in 2017, and a long-term energy supply contract for 200 gigawatt-hour per year. In May 2016, Colbún announced the award of a 15-year power purchase agreement to Total and its affiliated Sun Power for 500 gigawatt-hour of PV energy per year with the construction of a 164 megawatt solar power plant. Also, during this quarter, and as part of the financial structure optimization strategy, Colbún prepaid debt for a total amount of $240 million. The prepaid obligations correspond to the local bond H series for $80 million, whose original expiration date was in 2018, and a binding loan for $160 million, which had expiring date in 2021. Additionally, during July, the company prepaid another bank loan for $250 million with original expiration in 2021. This prepayment is not reflected in this quarter's financials, but will show up once we publish our third quarter 2016 results. All of the prepayments mentioned previously are part of the optimization strategy of financial debt, aiming for a more competitive average cost of debt and a longer weighted average life. Finally, on June 28, the main transformer of the gas turbine from Nehuenco 2, Unit 2, power plant was affected by a fire, activating immediately all internal emergency protocols and leaving no victims or injured personnel. Unit 2 was disconnected from the system, while Unit 1 continued operating normally. With the purpose of starting operations as soon as possible, Colbún acquired a provisional transformer, with which Colbún estimates the unit will start operations approximately by the end of September 2016. Meanwhile, Colbún commended the fabrication of a new permanent transformer, which will start operating approximately by the end of this year, in December. With the available information regarding estimated repair times, availability of the power plant, and compromised insurance for this type of incident, the impact of the failure of this failure on the company's financial results is not material in the context of Colbún. Now, I will turn to Veronica, who will speak about the main drivers of last quarter results and operations.
Thank you, Sebastian, and hello to everyone. Please move to slide 7 for a review of the main financial figures of this quarter, starting with a physical sales and generation balance analysis in Chile. Physical withdrawals from customers under contract reached 2,731 gigawatt-hour during this quarter, down by 3% compared to the same quarter from the previous year, mainly explained by lower demand from regulated and unregulated customers. Colbún recorded net sales in the spot market of 513 gigawatt-hour compared with net sales in second quarter of last year of 484 gigawatt-hour. Although sales increased year over year, the average marginal cost decreased 50% on the same period. The power generation breakdown in this quarter was outlined by an important hydroelectric participation of 40%, natural gas of 34%, and coal of 22%, which positively impacted the efficient generation mix. Meanwhile, given the lower rainfalls recorded and the lower natural gas power generation in this second quarter, diesel generation increased from 102 gigawatts in second quarter 2015 to 205 gigawatts in this quarter. In summary, the generation mix of this quarter allowed 100% of the company's commercial commitments to be supplied with efficient energy, hydroelectricity, coal, and natural gas, in line with the same quarter last year. Now, please continue to slide 8 to analyze Chile's EBITDA for 2016 second quarter. First, revenues for this quarter totaled 215 million, down by 12% compared to the same quarter last year, mainly explained by lower sales to customers under contract and spot market sales, which were partially offset by higher revenues from transmission tolls and sales to unregulated customers. Then, raw materials and consumables used decreased 25% compared to second quarter 2015, mainly explained by lower cost of fuel and lower purchases in the spot market. We saw EBITDA for this quarter reach 142 million, increasing by 4%, and EBITDA margin improved, reaching 45%, which positively compares to 38% of the same quarter from the previous year. Now, please continue to slide 9 for a review of the main financial figures of Fenix Power, starting with a physical sales and generation balance analysis. The analysis presented below compares periods prior to the acquisition of Phoenix in order to provide a better view of the unit operations. Thus, Phoenix results for the year 2016 are presented only for comparative purposes. Physical withdrawals from customers under contract reached 855 kWh, 12% higher when compared to the same quarter last year, mainly explained by a new short-term power purchase agreement reached with Distriluz in April 2016. Furthermore, spot market balance reached net purchases of 78 kWh in 2016 this quarter. Net sales for 314 kWh in the same quarter last year. On a quarterly basis, thermal gas power generation of the company reached 800 kWh, down by 28% compared to second quarter 2016, mainly explained by lower generation in June due to the major annual maintenance of the power plants over the month. During 2016 second quarter, 94% of the company's commercial commitments were met with own generation. Now, please continue to slide 10 to analyze Peru's EBITDA for the period. First, operating revenues from ordinary activities for the quarter reached $55 million, down by 3% compared to the same quarter last year, mainly explained by lower sales given to the major annual maintenance of the power plants in June 2016. Then, raw materials and consumables used increased 14% compared to second quarter 2016, mainly explained by higher purchases in the spot market and transmission toll costs. We saw EBITDA for this quarter reached $9 million, with an EBITDA margin of 17%. Now, let's move to slide number 11 for the consolidated non-operating income and net income analysis. Non-operating income of 2016 second quarter recorded losses of $30 million, higher than the losses of $22 million in the same quarter last year. The increase in losses is mainly explained by higher financial expenses due to the consolidation of Phoenix Power's debt, and the effect of registering on P&L expenses that were previously activated associated to the debt repay. This effect was partially offset by earnings in the exchange rate difference line due to the appreciation of the exchange rate Chilean pesos US dollars in second quarter 2016 and higher financial income from favorable investment rates. The company recorded in this quarter a net income of $51 million, in line with the net income of $50 million in the same quarter from the previous year. Now, continuing with the conference call, where Miguel will give you an update on the status of our growth options. Miguel.
Hi, everyone. Please go to slide number 13. As I've mentioned before, we continue searching for growth opportunities in Chile and other countries in the region, such as Colombia and Peru, in order to maintain a leading position in the power generation business and to diversify our sources of income. Now, in terms of our local projects, on slide number 14, we announced in December 2014 the construction of La Niña project. The construction and commissioning of the project is expected to last around 26 months, therefore starting commercial operations in early 2017. Estimated CAPEX is approximately $130 million. At the end of this quarter, the project had a progress of 77%. La Mina qualifies as a non-conventional renewable mini-hydro power plant, which contributes in turn to Colbún's obligation to comply with Law 2025 renewable requirements. During the second quarter of this year, some progresses were the ending of setting up concrete at the Atacsan Canal, the beginning of construction of the fixed barrier, the beginning of setting up the pressure pipeline in the powerhouse, the superstructure mounting finish, and the placement of concrete at different levels. also the Loma Alta transmission line started construction in November of last year. And progress at the end of this quarter is 81%, which is according to plan. Regarding the San Pedro Hydroelectric Project, in June of last year, the environmental impact assessment for the changes to the project was submitted, being initially accepted into process by the Environmental Assessment Service of Los Rios region. However, in August of last year, the authority decided to early terminate the process due to lack of relevant and essential information. The decision was then confirmed after the company filed an administrative appeal with new information. Notwithstanding the foregoing, the company is analyzing the observations from all public services in order to collect and prepare a timely response with technically founded information required by the authority. In parallel, we continue with a broad explicative and clarifying meeting process plan with municipalities, communities, neighborhoods, regional authorities, and indigenous communities, among other stakeholders, in order to timely re-enter the project. Now, regarding our coal-fired Santa Maria II thermoelectric project of 350 megawatts of installed capacity, the company is analyzing the social, economic, and commercial dimensions of the project to timely start its development. With this, we conclude Colbún's second quarter of this year results review. Thank you for listening, and now we're open to answer your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you wish to ask a question, simply key star then one on your telephone. If you decide to withdraw your question, simply press star two. All questions will be answered in the order received and you'll be advised when to ask your question, and all of the lines will remain on listen only. And just to remind you, if you wish to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone, ensuring your line is not on mute. And your first question comes from the line of Mirello Ricchini. You're live in the call. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for the call, Sebastian, Veronica, and Miguel. Well, could you provide us more details about the costs from the temporary transformer of Nehuenco and also of the new transformer, please?
Hi, Murilo. This is Miguel. I would say that as of today, we cannot give further information about the cost of the transformer. All we can say is that, of course, that's in line with the market prices for this type of units.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Esquili Fernandez. You're live in the call. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. This is Ezequiel Fernandez. So I have two questions. Basically, one is about the auction that started yesterday. I wanted to know if you consider the eventual outcome of this auction like a good reference for long-term power prices. Of course, considering the current level of fuel prices, or if you think that this auction is too competitive and it might not be reflective of long-term power prices. Thank you. And I have a second question. I'll take it afterwards.
Hi, Ezequiel. Obviously, to answer that question, we should wait. The results that finally come up through that auction. Obviously, in Colbún, we have an internal evaluation of what should be the medium long-term price of energy, but I would not feel comfortable in saying before the result of the action if that reflects our belief of what should be the medium long-term prices of energy in Chile.
Okay, got you. And the second question, and I don't know if you can actually comment on this or not, but on the unregulated segment, the PPAs with industrial clients and miners, would you say that $75 per megawatt hour is a good estimate for what currently PPAs are going for? And when I say $75, I'm talking only energy.
Well, just again, unfortunately, we cannot comment on prices. So sorry for not being able to answer that question.
No, not a problem. I understand it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. We have no further questions. But just to remind you again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone. And we have a further question from Sebastian Ramirez. You're live in the call. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Congratulations for the results. And I want to make a question regarding financial expenses and Peruvian operations. In relation to financial expenses, once we go financial statements, it's provisions that increased in a big amount in this quarter. And I wanted to know if there was anything in particular that financial provisions that triggered this increase in financial expenses during the quarter.
Hi, Sebastian. This is Miguel. Particularly on this quarter, we have the effect of recognizing as financial expenses that were previously part of the assets were activated, linked to that debt that was prepaid. So that's, I would say, the extraordinary effect of this quarter.
Okay, because that's in the line of a higher bank debt, but the higher bank expenses, but provisions. Why provisions were increased quarter on quarter and year on year in the financial side? Just as hard, I do not get it very well.
Sebastian,
yep.
I would say that's a very specific question. I would ask you to
okay.
Take a look.
We can take a look on that later. And the other one is regarding Peruvian operations. I had a doubt regarding average prices for regulated contracts during the quarter, which posted a very big drop quarter on quarter and year on year. And I want to understand if this was any particular event, the higher charge in the contracts given being 855 gigawatt hour in the quarter is something that is distortioning the prices that we're seeing. I wanted to understand what happened with average prices there and with SG&A also in the Peruvian subsidiary.
First of all, in terms of prices, I would say that there's no extraordinary or unusual effect. Might be something linked to a marginal cost, but nothing relevant in particular. In terms of the SG&A, as you know, because of the maintenance of the plant, some expenses were recorded in this month as part of that. And a higher portion was also activated because of it being an investment.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you very much for the call. Have a good day.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Nicholas Langlos. You're live in the call. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for the conference call. My first question is about your contract profile in Peru. I would like to know what kind of contracts are those, if they are with regulated customers or unregulated customers, what's the profile for the following years? And what's the renewal price in Peru right now for the coming contracts? And also, I'd like to ask you about the unregulated contracts here in Chile. What's the profile? How's the relation of the average price of your unregulated contracts here in Chile to the regulated prices? And my second question is about your M&A process. You have a huge cash right now. Newspapers articles says that you are planning some acquisitions in Peru, in Chile. But I would like to know what's your plan for the following quarters. If you are looking some the economic side of those acquisitions, or if you have something concrete at this time. And thank you very much.
Nicolas, this is Miguel. Thanks for your questions. So first of all, in terms of prices and contract profile, I would say most of that information, both for Peru and Chile, are part of our corporate presentations. I would say in general, in Peru, we have an average life around 7 years with clients. Most of them are regulated customers. That's the first question. In terms of renewable prices, as Sebastián mentioned previously, we cannot comment in terms of prices. That applies both for Peru and for Chile. Finally, in terms of our M&A, I would say guidelines or expectations, I would say that, as you probably know, we're focused on power generation assets, which is our core business. We have we're looking more closely at Peru and Colombia because of the attractive economic environment, its regulatory framework, and the growth potential in terms of per capita energy consumption. And finally, we also look favorably in terms of partnership with either local or international players. Having said that, we cannot further comment on the specific processes that we might be involved.
Okay, thank you. My last questions: can you tell us a little bit about your provisioning contracts of coal, GNL, and also Brent?
Yes, of course. For LNG, that's also part of our presentation available at our website. We have a medium-term contract up until 2019 with local distribution companies, namely Metrogas and ENAP. For coal, then, still on LNG, 2020 onwards, as you probably know, we were awarded with a regasification capacity at GNL Quintero, and with that capacity, we could pursue a supply from that period going forward. In terms of coal, we also have a medium-term agreements with, I would say, worldwide suppliers to get that supply. And in terms of diesel, we also have agreements with local players.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Ezequiel Fernandez again. You're live in the call. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Sorry, I was going to make a follow-up on the same question that Sebastián actually did on the Peru revenue structure, but I guess it's simpler if we do it by email, so no worries. Sorry about that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We have no further questions. Just a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone.
Okay, so thank you to everyone for joining this conference call, and we hope to see you all again for the next quarter review, and have a nice afternoon. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Sebastian. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining, and enjoy the rest of your day.